we appreciate you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Before you sit down, Sister Brenda's got announcements she's going to make, and then we're going to get into the Word of God.
The month of January is the registration month for our ladies for the Pentecostal Church of God. And it is for $5 a year. Part of it stays with our local group. Some goes on to our district and some on to the national. And this isn't just a club. The theme this year is empowered. And if there was ever a time we needed to be more empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be this year of 2020. And our focus this year is also to connect, to lift each other up, to edify one another and be there for one another. And also each month we're going to have different missionaries that we're going to be praying for. There's going to be different rallies throughout the year. We'll be announcing those, but our first one is going to be Thursday, February the 6th at Valonia, and Sister Curtis will be our speaker. So put that on your calendar, be planning to go. And to get registered with your $5, contact me or Sister Gail Collins. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Brenda. Thank you guys so very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we hope that you're getting settled into the new year, because it's here, whether you want it to be or not. We're going to make the best of it, regardless of what everybody else does, because we got Jesus by our side. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first book of Ephesians. Chapter 3. Praise the Lord. I hope and pray so much today, and I've asked God to send the Holy Ghost to touch our hearts and our lives. But I hope I can imply to you the message that Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus here, and what God has spoken to my heart, and if I can relay that in some way, and the ways that I can, and I don't have the ability to, I pray that the Holy Ghost will touch your heart and shake you up and stir you and put His arms around about you and give you a great big bear hug and help you realize that you have so much to thank God for. No matter what circumstance you're in, you've got so much to thank God for. First Ephesians. How many has found First Ephesians? Chapter 3. Stand with me if you would. Eventually through this message, I'm going to read the whole chapter, but right now I'm just going to read a couple of verses that I want to highlight in my message today. And we've heard the message from David's perspective, and I'll bring that out in a little bit too, that when he went to kill the giant, his brothers was against him, and he told his brothers, he said, "Is there not a cause?" Well, come to find out, Paul felt that same urgency. When we speak and we hear and we read the word, "Is there not a cause?" That's an urgency. That is telling us that there is something that is vitally important. So in first verse of that chapter, it says, "For this cause," somebody say, "this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." Verse number 8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Verse 14, "For this cause," somebody say, "this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Heavenly Father, let your will be done, and let the Holy Ghost saturate this place and walk up and down the aisles, not only of this place, but of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. For this cause. For this cause is what I want to title my message this morning. For this cause. There is a reason and there is a cause of the urgency of the life that we have in Jesus Christ today. He said in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Somebody say comprehend. To comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height. The blessings of God that passes all understanding, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we are asked or we think, according to the power that works within us. Paul was emphasizing to the church at Ephesus here that God in all of His mercy and God in all of His grace not only had come to fulfill the mercy and grace into the Jews, but He is now saying the mystery has come to me, that God has expanded His love and now offers it to the Gentiles. There was a time when the Gentiles could only see the joy that the Jews had. There was a time that the Gentiles could only smell the incense that burned in the tabernacle. There was only a time that they could sense and smell the bread for the Passover. There was only a time that they could just indulge in it through a vision or through the smell, through their senses. There was only a time they could not partake of it. I begin to think and begin to wonder, Lord, how can I explain this to your people, that we have such a privilege that as Gentiles we have been grafted into the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. There are so many times that we don't take the fullness and don't take the privilege and we don't take the responsibility and we don't take what really is ours because we just want to go through the surface. And I begin to think about this and begin to ask God, How can I come across? But understand and realize the Jews had it, the Gentiles didn't. There was only a time until God revealed the mystery of His love to the Gentiles through His disciples. I begin to think, and I remember when I was just a small boy, probably 5 or 6 years old, but I can still sense that. My uncle was injured in Rogers in a construction accident, and they had to life flight him to Tulsa, to St. John's, right downtown, right next to the bakery. How many's ever been downtown by the bakery at Tulsa? That is a heavenly aroma. Okay, don't you all agree? But I can remember, I can still sense that, I can still see that. And smell, I couldn't go in. They wouldn't let me go into the bakery, but I could smell what was cooking on the inside. And that's the way it was with the Gentiles. They could smell the fragrance of Jesus, but they couldn't partake of the fragrance of Jesus. Somebody with me? That would be like today, that we would go to our favorite bakery, but we couldn't go inside. We'd have to stand outside of Rick's Bakery in Fayetteville and only look through the glass at all the goodies that they had inside. Isn't this something to be talking about before the fast? It's we can look through the glass, but we couldn't partake of it. It wasn't for us. It was for others, but it wasn't for us. It would be like mom preparing our favorite meal and setting it down at the table, but we had to go to our room because we wasn't worthy of it. It would be like going by the bank and looking inside at your banker and him looking outside smiling at you while he counted all that cash and that stack of money on his desk, but you couldn't go in and get any of it. You couldn't even borrow any of it. It was off limits to you. It's like going by the steakhouse and smelling the smoke coming out of their ventilator and you can smell it, but you can't go in and eat it. Aren't you glad that's not the case today? I mean, just look around. You can tell not many of us has missed too many meals, including myself. Think about it for just a moment. All those favorite things that you like to smell, and not only smell but taste, you couldn't do that. You could only see it from the outside, from a distance. And Paul said, but there is a mystery that's coming to you. I said, there's a mystery that's coming to you. I'm going to take a second or two here to explain some things I meant to start with. My mind was so much on this message. And then you get into it, you kind of relax and let the Holy Ghost completely take over. You don't worry about it no more because it's all His. But several of you have asked what's happened to my forehead. I'm getting old, for one thing. And no, Sister Di and I didn't have a fight. I was working in my shop building a shelf. And the age part, I forgot where I'd left my shelf. And when I turned around, I found it. And somebody said, that must have really hurt. But really it didn't. Brother Harold, I laughed at myself. I thought, you big dummy. You know, it's right there. And you turned around and found it. And then, can I share with you something? The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, it's a lot like sin. It really didn't hurt when I hit it, but it sure left a scar. I thought, wow. That's pretty awesome. I really did. I laughed at myself because it really didn't hurt. And I looked in the mirror and seen the effects that it had on it. I thought, man, you was a dummy. But it's exactly, that's how sin does. And I want to just share that with you today, that it may not really hurt at the time, but it'll sure leave its effect. All right, back to my message. It is the mystery that God has given us. And He gave it to His disciples, and now He has given it to His ministers. He has told us in His Word. He has given us preachers. He has given us teachers. He has given us prophets. He has given us evangelists for the working of the faith in the saints of God, that they might come to the perfection. Therefore, we are limited sometimes on how we perceive the grace of God. Can I say that again? Sometimes we are limited on how we perceive the grace of God, because the grace of God is unimaginable. He said in the verse that I read to you that it is unsearchable. The riches is indescribable. It's out of this world what He has done for you and what He's done for me. I don't care what you're going through. I mean, I do care, but no matter what you're going through, the grace of God and the unsearchable riches of God is so much stronger and so much more capable of taking care of that. But oh, church, if we was only able to look through the glass, if we was only able to smell the fragrance, but God said through my Son, I'm going to tear it all down. I'm going to break it apart. And now you have the privilege to walk into the holies of holies. Now you have the privilege to smell my grace. Now you have the privilege to taste my grace. Now you have the privilege to experience my grace. You think maybe that's what David meant when he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's this kind of a relationship is what I'm praying and hoping for, that we receive through this fast in this first 21 days of this year, or from the 5th on. I pray that we receive and we understand and we respect and we sense that relationship. I'm here to tell you today that the grace of God is so awesome to us. We shouldn't be able to sit for a moment without raising our hands and thanking God for the mercy and the grace. I'm here to tell you today, we was doomed for a devil's hell. There was no hope. There was no reassurance. We was doomed beyond the shadow of a doubt. But Jesus said, I'll go all the way. I'll pay the price on Calvary. And let me tell you, I'll pay the price. I know what it's all about. I've seen sin and it's worse. He said, but I'll pay the price through my shed blood. I'll go all the way. He has opened up the gates of grace for me and for you, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. We don't understand that. God, help us to understand that. According to the riches of His glory. To be strengthened. That's what we sung about a while ago in verse 16. To be strengthened with the might by His Spirit, the inner man. It's that inner man that we struggle with at times, that wants to do what's right, and the flesh wants to do what feels good to the flesh. But I'm here to tell you today, the flesh is only temporary, but the inner man is eternal. And God has paid the price through His Son Jesus Christ, that you and I might experience eternal bliss and eternal glory, that we might experience the riches of God's grace. We almost see that as a figure of our imagination when we talk about the streets that are pure gold. We talk about a river that is crystal clear that runs through the throne of God. We talk about the throne of God and they that sit upon the throne and how marvelous and how magnificent. I'm here to tell you some way, somehow, church, if we could get a glimpse of that, we wouldn't be sitting in our pew right now, but we would be falling on our face, prostrate before God, giving Him praise and glory and honor, because His riches and His glory and His honor is incomprehensible. Verse 18 says that we might be able to comprehend. And I pray that today, God, help us to be able to comprehend. Help us, oh God, to be able to comprehend. Somebody said in that passage of Scripture that God, and to those that consecrate themselves to God, that this grace has brought us favor. This grace has brought us privilege. Let me say it again. This grace of Jesus Christ that is given us through His Father, it has given us. It's given us the grace. It has given us the favor. It has given us the privilege. One time we didn't have the privilege but only to smell the bread. We didn't have but the privilege to see the goodies inside the window. But now, because of Almighty God, He has given us favor and He has given us the privilege. Verse number 8 of that was granted and graciously entrusted as He proclaimed it to the Gentiles. Unending, bountiless, unendingly fathomless. He has absolutely given us the riches of His grace that we can't even calculate the blessings of God. Oh, somebody preach with me this morning. It's gooder than grits and greater than gravy. I'm here to tell you we need to understand and comprehend it. Why do you think Paul was so engaged in this when he said that we may be able to comprehend? May be able to comprehend. There's three phases of Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll try to get through them in the next hour and a half. But the first phase is the mystery as it is revealed unto Paul. And I've already read most of it to you, but he said for this reason or for this cause, he had a desire, he had a unction with inside his heart and his life to tell the Gentiles, to tell the people at Ephesus, if you need, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that is given to me for you, it is not just for me only, but it's for you. I thank God for the call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome, awesome calling of God. I don't take it lightly. But He did not call me for myself, but He called me for your good, that I might expound to you the blessings and the joy and the peace of God that passes all understanding, that He might help me to help you to understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's almighty love. Hallelujah. How that by revelation He made known to me the mysteries. He said, I've wrote to you before, but I'm going to write to you again. I'm going to tell you again that there was a time when only the Jews was capable of experience this, but now the Gentiles should be fellow heirs as well. Be part of that same body, to be partakers of His promise. Be partakers of His promise. What promise? When somebody promises you something, you expect them to follow through, right? Well, the Word of God said that He is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He is faithful. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. same body, partakers of His promise of the Christ through the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings deliverance. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings healing. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings peace of mind in the midst of the storm. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that surrounds you in your crisis and gives you the strength to make it through. So there is a mystery revealed unto Paul. And then verse 8, for the next few verses, that purpose of that mystery is made known. There is a purpose. That's why Paul said there is a cause. The purpose in that cause is that we might receive the riches of God's mercy and grace. To me, verse 8, he said, I am the least of all the saints. I am the least of all the saints. That this grace was given to me. I'm not worthy of it, but He has given it to me. And he said, he gave it to me. This is the purpose, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He has given it to me that I might give it to you. Freely I have received, freely I give. Somebody told me one time, you had to come to church, you had to be on time, you had to be here there every time the church house door opened. I said, no siree, I don't have to be. I want to be because of the mercy and the riches and the grace of God. I choose to accept the calling that God put upon my life. I do not find it a hardship. That I might have the unsearchable riches of Christ. To make all see that. That's my desire today in verse number 9. That we might all see the riches of that. That we might all understand the riches of that. Can I tell you today, they can't make enough bread in the bakery to suffice your desire. But Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. And He can meet and supply the need. The banker can't supply enough money to satisfy those in the world. But Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice that we might know what it is to have life and have it more abundantly. He paid the supreme sacrifice. From the beginning, these things were hid, but He has opened up the mystery to you and I. That through the church, through Jesus Christ, the principalities and the powers we might experience in heavenly places. Aren't you excited that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, has infiltrated this place before, and we have sat in heavenly places? How many's experienced sitting in heavenly places in this place? It doesn't have to be a history experience. It can be a present experience. It can be a now experience. It can be a today experience. It can be experience here. It can be an experience at home. It can be an experience between here and home. An experience. Oh God, help us today that we can sit in heavenly places. He said, just because the circumstances of life has kind of seemed, and Paul went through stages. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, and he said, I don't want you to lose heart because of the tribulations or the things that I go through, because they're for your glory. Well, why would it be for your glory? Because these things that I've experienced, these things that Paul went through, the things that I have went through, is for your glory, because I choose to do it for the glory of God. It is not for my benefit, but it's for your benefit. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about. So Paul talked about not only the mystery was revealed to the Gentiles, the purpose was revealed to the Gentiles. And he said, now there's an application that is revealed to the Gentiles. And he said, for this reason, or for this cause. Oh, glory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. For this cause. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you. You can take that passage of Scripture and you can put your name in there where it says you. According to the riches of His glory. And how many knows that heaven has not went bankrupt yet? Nor will it ever go bankrupt. for your glory to be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man. That song we sung a while ago, that His strength is sufficient. His strength is sufficient. Hey, hang in there. I ain't got to my message yet. Glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. According to His riches, that His Spirit may strengthen you in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love. What does that actually mean, being rooted and grounded in love? The love of God. I've heard people say, well, that individual made me mad. Well, that individual got me upset. Well, that individual done this. That individual can't make you do anything. It's through your own will. And we're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. We can sing praises and glory to God, just like the story of the man that Chris read in our class this morning. The martyr for Jesus Christ. He did not complain about what he was going through, but he rejoiced because he knew he was in the perfect will of God. And God's perfect will for you is to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints the width, the length, the depth, the height. What does that mean? Everything. God hasn't left out anything for you. He has given you everything. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which passes understanding. That's what I'm saying a while ago when I begin my message. If I could only explain and only reveal to you the grace and the mercy of God and what He has done for you. We highly underestimate, I'm so afraid of many times, we highly underestimate the vastness of God's love and the earnestness. As I stand here even today and in times past, I earnestly have delivered my soul for the cause of Christ for your benefit. It's not for my health or your wealth, but by His Spirit, it is for the good of your inner man. I yearn with all of my heart for you to catch a glimpse. I'm not here this morning just to tell you a bunch of words to make you feel good, but I am here today to encourage you and to let you know that regardless of what you have to go through, what you're going through, the strength of God is able to get you through it. Therefore, I yearn for you to catch one glimpse of what Christ really did for each and every one of us. Glory. Absolutely yearn. When we walk into His presence and we walk into His sanctuary and His house, that our hearts are lifted up and our hands are lifted up. Can I tell you today, as along with several that's in this sanctuary with me right now, can I tell you I have literally walked most of the way up the Via Dolorosa in Israel? And can I also tell you that it's quite an excruciating walk? Approximately a half a mile, it seemed like 10 miles, because most of it, if not all of it, was uphill, and some of it up a good hill. And there was times we had to stop, catch our breath, or at least I did anyway. Some of them didn't, but I know a few that did. But to stop and think. Did you get that? I've walked up that hill. I've walked that route that Jesus walked. And to think that after He was beaten beyond recognition, His side was opened up to where His bowels was hanging out His side. He was bleeding profusely all over His body. He was beyond recognition as a man. They shoved a crown of thorns across His brow. And then with a couple of strong men, no doubt, through a cruel, old, rugged, heavy cross on His back, and made Him walk up the hill as they drug Him. And part of the way up, they had to get someone to help Him because it was such a load. I said all that to say this, church, it is beyond my comprehension. He had the ability to call legions of angels and 10,000s of angels to rescue him from his persecutors, but he desired that you and I might feel the joy and the riches of his heavenly Father, and he endured it all the way up that hill. He endured it all the way up to the place of Golgotha. He endured it all the way. It is beyond me. Why he did not call 10,000 angels to his rescue, but he looked down and he seen a people that needed the mercy and the grace and the strength of God. And to think that he did that for us, and all we want to do is whine and gripe and complain. We want to find fault and we want to pick. Make accusations, but I just come by here to tell you today, he paid a dear price for you. And his unsearchable riches of his grace has reached down to touch you, to minister to you. He did not stop, but he kept on going. And you know what I believe his words underneath his breath was? There is a cause. Oh, glory. Somebody get a hold of it. There is a cause. It was because he loved you. Before you was conceived in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew who was going to be in this service today before you got here. He knew you was going to be here even though you perhaps had made up your mind and you don't even have a question, you're going to be in God's house. But he already knew you was going to be here. Some of you that perhaps didn't know yet, he already knew you was going to be here. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verses 14 and 15, "For I owe a great debt to you and to everyone else, both to the civilized people and the uncivilized alike." Sometimes people wonder which I am, civilized or uncivilized. And it may be debatable, but this one thing I know, I thank God for His mercy and grace that's reached down to both. To the educated and the uneducated. So to the fullness extent of my ability, Paul said, I am ready to come also to you in Rome to preach God's good news, which is the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul emphasized that he owed a great debt. He was a debtor. Chris, if you would, go ahead and come to the piano, please. And he was telling the hearers, if you could see what I see, if you could feel what I feel, if you knew what I know, because of what Christ did for us, I am a debtor to Him and I am willing to spend myself completely for you. And for this cause, I give my life for Christ and for you. He said, there's a cause. And he said, because there is a cause, I am willing to spend my life completely telling this gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a cause. And it's for you. I'm willing to give it all I got. Willingly, totally, ready to spend myself for the cause of Christ and for your sake. To help you see the mystery of God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. And for you to experience the power of His love. To know Him and the power of His resurrection, which is to come if we're that faithful follower. The spiritual food that I deliver to you from His table is for your good. Sometimes it may not be exactly what you want. You may be wanting sweet potato and you get broccoli. Some of you say, well, I like broccoli. Well, He may give you Brussels sprouts. And if you like Brussels sprouts, some of you probably do, you need prayer. that. That's just my analysis, okay? I love you anyhow. If you like Brussels sprouts, I still love you. And this message is still for you. Aren't you glad? It doesn't matter if you like Brussels sprouts or cabbage. Message still for you. But I come to bring you spiritual food that I deliver to you from His table, and it is for your good. I've come to you Sunday after Sunday for the last 36 plus years. And I'm willing to spend myself. I'm not bragging. I'm thankful. I've hung on to this very pulpit right here trying to preach a message, passing a kidney stone. And if you ain't ever passed a kidney stone, you better be thanking God for it. I've stood at this pulpit with staph infection in my body so bad it made my eyes water. I don't regret a mile. I've been ridiculed, I've been talked about, and I've been accused. But I've done what I've done for the Lord Jesus Christ and for this cause, that you might find the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You have so much going for you. I said, you have so much going for you, and you can't pass it up. And like Paul, the more I love you, then sometimes the more it seems like you resist the message that I preach. But I love you enough to keep preaching it anyway. I deliver to you, for your benefit, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am not preaching to you a pity party today. I'm preaching to you the same thing that Paul said to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Philippi. He preached the same thing. But I am willing to come to you and time again, because there is a cause and you're worth it. This is what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Now I come to you again the third time, and it is still not going to cost you anything. Well, I don't want your money. I want you. That's what Paul said. Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14, 15. And anyway, you are my children. Little children don't pay for their father's and mother's food in the other way around. It's the other way around. Parents supply the food for the children. And I'm glad to give you of myself. All I have for your spiritual good, that though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. That's what Paul said. And there's times that it seems like the harder I preach, the less you hear. But I still love you. And I'm still going to keep preaching it. It's exactly, and I told you before, I'm going to bring it up, and I'm going to close here in the next hour or two. Because I could preach this another hour, but I won't. Like David, while his brothers thought they knew his heart and it was naughty, David knew his heart of purity, and his actions showed as he went out to face Goliath that if I have to fight every devil in hell, and it don't matter how big they are, I'll fight them for you, because there's a cause. Because there's a cause. Did you hear me? If I had to fight the devils by myself for you, I'll fight them because there's a cause. Jesus loves you, and I love you. And David said, what have I now done? Because there is a cause. Would you stand with me all over the building today? There is a cause. You're worth it. The devil may tell you you're worthless. The devil may lie to you and tell you he don't care. All he's in it for the money. I just come by to tell you today, I love you. I care for you. I love God's people, and I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every head bow, every eye closed. I wonder today if you're here and you've heard this message and you feel like perhaps you're not worthy, you're not worth it. Or for whatever reason you haven't fully given yourself to Jesus Christ and asked Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, to give you a ticket to enter into heaven and to escape hell. I ask you today, is now not the time? Is right now not the time for you to make up your decision to surrender all to Jesus Christ? It's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. So I ask you today, if you're ready to make that commitment, I ask you if you would just step out of your seat and come to this altar. Heavenly Father, some way, somehow, I have missed what you've done for me. But I acknowledge it right now, for your grace and your mercy is way beyond my comprehension. Is there one? Well, we'll wait for just a moment. Marvelous and wonderful mercy and grace of God has it been extended to you. How many would slip up your hands and you say, I'm saved, but Lord, I have underestimated your love, mercy, and grace. You'd slip up your hand toward heaven as you slip the other one up and say, Heavenly Father, here I am. I have horribly underestimated the mystery of God's mercy and grace. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, right now that you will fill me up.
He could love
to run open
me,
that I might experience the
offerings
of
grace.
Lord, I love you, Jesus. And we sing in church.
At last shall see, will be my joy through the ages. Oh, to sing of His love for me. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall end. I at last shall see. Oh, 'twill be my joy through the ages. Oh, to sing of His love for me. We're singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Out of your seat, just come and stand in front of the altar and lift your hands in demonstration of God's mercy and love and how much you appreciate it. As we sing it again, say, oh, that's silly. No, it's not silly. It's demonstration. It's putting it into action. Lord, I love you. Lord, I appreciate you. I am unworthy. I'm the least. I am the least of all of these, but I just come to praise you. Hallelujah. As this family of God comes together and they sing it again, let's give Him praise and let's give Him honor and let's give Him glory. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus.
Oh, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Oh, and wonder how He could love me. Oh, a sinner condemned, unclean. We're singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my ransom in glory. His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages, oh, to sing of His love for me. Oh, sing it, church. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Once more singing, how
say that's totally ridiculous doing that, but they can stand, paint themselves up for their team and shout and holler and scream. Why can't we come and just give Jesus praise and honor Him and worship Him? Hey, let me tell you something else. I don't think that we're alone. You remember I told you that there was a time to where we could only smell the bread, we could only smell the fragrance. Can I tell you, I believe that there's a host of angels in heaven standing at the threshold looking over because they can't taste what you and I are tasting right now. And they're joining us. How wonderful and how marvelous. How marvelous and how wonderful. Isn't it awesome to know that heaven stands at attention at the awesomeness of grace of God, that God has allowed us through His Son Jesus Christ to taste it. Well, glory. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. Aren't you glad what He's done for you? Why don't you just give Jesus a great big hand clap of appreciation? Lord, we praise You. We glorify. We honor Your name. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. May God richly bless you. Shake hands. Hug each other's neck. Glory of God. See you tonight and see you.